whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in on one of the highest gravity day ones of the Cowboys offseason you'll ever feel, with so much going on. Cowboys picking 12th. You have the Mike McCarthy situation. Several big free agents coming up as well. And Jerry and Mike are meeting this afternoon. That's according to Slater. That paints the picture of where we are here on this Cowboys Monday. Welcome into the show, General, at your service. Salute to you. There's Broadus, the former Cowboys scout and NFL executive, the Super Bowl-winning scout. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pim Cup over there at Master Control here, 75 and fits you. He's fixing for five flawless once again. Wolchuk is here. Chio follow amongst those under the weather. Has quite an illness.
Yeah, I knew he was under the weather. Because yesterday at Legends Hospitality, they brought us mac and cheese with brisket mac and cheese.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, it was piled on there on a plate. It had really, really good. Chief didn't touch his.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was talking that talk that he was going to just crush.
Yeah, he was on that mission to, like.
In a PR.
Yeah. But he did the pregame show, and then I think that was all he can. That's all he can do.
Well, best of luck to him feeling better.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see the illness on Heggie if you were looking on the webcam. He was like a ghost.
Yeah.
You know, he lost all the color in his face and his skull, as you can, you know, see, monitor that. And you could tell coming off of his energy, you know. So a lot of people having to play sick and fighting through a lot of different things that are out there. Hope you're feeling all right. Thanks for making us part of your day. You have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. 972 says Slater was defending her girl Joy Taylor on Twitter earlier today. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on with that Joy Taylor story. Yeah. I saw a clip going viral with Shannon Sharp, and the reaction from Skip Bayless and Steven Jackson was quite interesting, as you know, some of that dirty laundry from the Fox Sports world in Los Angeles is leaking out into the Twitter sphere, I guess, the Twitterverse. I just think you don't want to date anybody at work. You know, it's just a messy scene. And, you know, even if you have the best of intentions, things can get weird and wild on you.
Makes
you got people speculating.
Uncomfortable.
You're competing with others who might be envious of you and start making stuff up, or maybe it was true, but nobody knows it. It's just messy. So hopefully, you know, everything's going to be all right out there. All right, Cowboys GM Jerry Jones meeting with Mike McCarthy today, saying no rush to resolve the Mike McCarthy job status. I just think that's negotiating. You know, when they say that the person that talks first or asks for a deal first is the one that loses. So I think Jerry's just kind of slow rolling into it. But yeah, we got to get down to brass tacks this afternoon. I just think that would be disrespectful.
Yeah, I think that if Mike legitimately has other opportunities, you know, you want to make sure that like I say, Jerry and Steven, maybe they feel like they don't owe him that, but, you know, to Mike, you know, he'd like to know. I don't think he's going to be like Jason Garrett and want to hang around a week and kind of figure things out. You know, he made a very passionate speech last night in the post game about, you know, they're asking about the job and stuff, and he was talking about his program and what they built and, you know, how he thinks he's the right guy to continue on with the program and the good things that they've done. And there has been some good things that they've done. Hopefully this thing will be resolved more sooner than later, as we'd all like it to be. And then, if in fact there's some talk, though, that even Brian Schottenheimer might want to go on and call plays somewhere else, that maybe that he might not want to be, you know, a guy.
That'd be something I'd be excited about, you know, because then we'd have turnover at OC. I don't know. I'll take or leave the Mike McCarthy situation. You know, I doubt the Cowboys would hire somebody better than him for the job. I think he's got
McCarthy.
He's got a lot of good things going.
They need to get the Zimmer situation resolved too.
They do.
So that's something, you know, because you don't want to lose out on some of these defensive coordinators that might be.
No doubt. I mean, the Jets are trying to interview everybody right now, it seems like. So as other teams are moving on, you don't want to lose out on some of your options. And I think dragging your feet on that only ends up being an issue in that regards. And for Mike as well, right? It's unfair for both of them. The Cowboys would be doing themselves a disservice for waiting. I think it would hurt Mike McCarthy as well. But you've got to kind of get ahead of this thing if you need to be looking for a new coach. Let's go ahead and start moving forward. And at the worst, I mean, to me, part of the sell of bringing Mike back is Zimmer. Like, if Zimmer doesn't want to coach again, at least here, I don't know. I think that might change things for me because I think the continuity of it is the best argument. And you saw the defense make strides. I do want to see something different with this offense. But Mike also might just say, well, then I'm not staying. If you want somebody else to call plays, then I'm out. In which case, I would say, well, then that's fine. Thank you very much. This has been a good 5 years. We brought you in here to get over the hump. You haven't been able to do that. Let's try and find somebody else that can. Now, I do wonder if the Cowboys then would pivot. We were talking with Brad yesterday, and he talked about comfortability, right? People that you know. Well, one of the hot names right now is Kellen Moore. And I do wonder if that would be kind of the first person that comes to mind for them in that building. There is a lot of affinity for Kellen Moore. Now, Kellen might also say, the way that I left there, you can go kick rocks. I'm not interested. I know how things go over there. You're going to make it very, very difficult for me to win. But I think that would end up being, and Cowboy fans seem to think about that, if you don't want Mike McCarthy, who then is the next option?
Yeah.
And I think that would be a very realistic name that the Cowboys would be considering.
If Mike Vrabel were to sign quick, if, say, New England offers him the job, and obviously Gerard Mayo getting fired yesterday, I think sets it up for Mike Vrabel to go into New England. If that's Dallas's number one candidate, that might make things a little bit more difficult for Steven and Jerry. That might have to make them move along a little faster than they might want to.
It's an interesting idea, though. What if Kellen Moore is the guy that you want? And because of that, like, you have to wonder, why would Jerry Jones want to drag this out? My initial thought was this is a negotiation ploy to lowball Mike. But what if he's thinking, well, if Mike does leave, that's fine. I'll just wait until the Eagles are done and I'll take Kellen Moore.
Yeah, he could probably get Kellen Moore for the same price he gets Mike McCarthy right now. Maybe even a little cheaper for his first job, his first head coaching job. You know, that's something. I think that Kellen Moore had a problem with Mike McCarthy. I don't know if he had a problem with the Jones family. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind with.
Should we be discouraged or encouraged by Kellen Moore being a candidate, if that would happen? If that would happen, I know the fan base would be at least 70%, maybe 80% down on it.
Yeah, if you follow along what the Eagles have done here the last year, I can't speak for the Chargers year.
It didn't seem like it went great.
No, I can't think speak for that.
Injuries were a big part of that.
So, yeah, but what I've seen, you know, what we've seen, and I think it would make Dak very happy because that's, that would be then Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier.
Yeah.
And then that means Nussmeier would be back in the room working with Dak. I think Dak would be very, very happy with that. You know, and what the Joneses have to think about is their quarterback who they've invested in for the next 4 years.
And then with Mike Zimmer, I mean, based on how the second half of the season went, this is a guy you want back. You know?
Yeah, and can you get Kellen Moore to agree to that? Can you say, listen, Kellen, we want to give you this job. You know, you've competed against Mike Zimmer. Well, I know it probably, you know, for a couple of different games for a half, you know, it was pretty tough. I mean, the second half, you got the best of them. But would you be interested, if we give you this job, would you be interested in keeping Mike Zimmer? That might be a question. And if Kellen says, listen, I've got somebody else in mind that I worked with at the Eagles or worked with at the Chargers or someplace else that he has been, then now if you're the Cowboys, you have to say, well, then we're going to move on.
I think the Cowboys look at it like we're going to have control of a lot with the coaching staff, and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't feel like even Bill Parcells could say no to Jason Garrett.
No, they need to, you're right about that. They need to make the decision or learn the decision of Mike Zimmer quickly.
Yeah,
because if you can't let this thing, Mike needs to go.
Do you think
he's
negotiating for just more money,
Mike Zimmer?
Mike Zimmer, like, I don't know if I want to do this.
I sent him a text this morning, just, you know, thanking him for coming in here and making me look decent for the nice things I said about him over the year. But, you know, I haven't heard back from him on that. I think that there's people that know Mike that he really did this, as he said, for his son Adam, who he lost, and you know he's gone through a lot of heartache in his life. He came back, he coached, did the best he could under the situation. loves the horse racing part of that, you know, and he's thinking, you know, do I want to go be that guy full time? Or do I want to keep coaching? I don't think Mike's trying to hold you up for more money or anything. Hmm. I just think Mike's to the point where it's like he had that year off where he was able to kind of sit back and do a lot of other things. And he's like, man, that wasn't a bad gig.
I mean, the lifestyle, the options, yeah. not having to get up when you're tired. Yeah. Oh, he's newly engaged. Congrats to him for that.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy adding he does want to be back. He said, I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship and all that, and that's who I am. So we'll see where it goes, and that's what we're tracking this afternoon. If you missed it, Jane Slater reporting that he and Jerry Jones are meeting. Jerry adding yesterday, no plans to step down as GM. No surprise there. You know, I think when he says until the day that I die, you know, I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You should.
Yeah. I don't think there's any tracking this story until like he's just mysteriously not around. And then you'll be like, wow, is he sick or something? And then maybe that story could evolve. But, you know, nothing until that day is going to make me believe there's a chance in HE double hockey sticks, Woolchuck, that he's going to step down.
Yeah, there's not. And I know we'll get to this Mavs news here in a second. We're getting some texts about that. It's not good. 254 said, never want to hear you guys talk about accountability with the Cowboys again. You guys are just like Jerry giving Mike a pass. Well, the issue here is you just kind of heard yesterday from the guy who holds all the cards. That's the accountability. Jerry said, I'm not going to ever not be the GM, right? So I don't think the coach, it's going to make a damn bit of difference. They can keep Mike McCarthy. They can bring in Kellen Moore. I don't think it matters. We've seen a ton of coaches come and go in this thing. It starts at the top, and that's where you're not going to see any change. So I'm pretty deflated in my Cowboy optimism right now, and maybe I'll gather that back as time expires. But
what
like,
was the texture, Matt, about? Dude.
Like the accountability portion of it.
For Jerry?
Like, no, we're giving Mike a pass.
Mike McCarthy?
We're okay with Mike coming back.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. You know, I mean, he's not the perfect coach. He's not going to bring a Shanahan, McVay, or Andy Reid view of the offense.
The difference maker guy a little bit, yeah.
But I would say he is a difference maker in accountability, in health, in overall culture, in,
I think he would have wanted to get rid of
takeaways.
Yeah.
You know,
Zeke.
Yeah, I think he would have wanted to get rid of Zeke before that Atlanta game. I don't think the front office let him do it.
Yeah.
I think he probably like, okay, fine, let's do this. And then once things kind of started going south, you know, I'm pretty sure Mike probably wanted to say, you know, hey, I'm not into this anymore.
But there were definitely improvements from Jason Garrett. There's no doubt about
Absolutely,
that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that Chaz Green game would never have happened with Mike McCarthy. You just saw yesterday Tyler Guyton out there needs to play. But he keeps making mistakes and he keeps getting penalized. All right, you can go to the bench. Mm. Austin Richards, get out there. Yeah. Right? I mean, there isn't a hesitancy to change things in-game if something's not working, like you saw the stubborn nature. And then the ability to win games with a backup quarterback, with injuries. You didn't see that in the previous regime, and you didn't see the consistency when it came to winning 12 wins. If you want to say the level of competition, that's fine. We can go back and look at the level of competition and the wins that Jason Garrett had when he had 12 wins or whatever the hell it was, right? So I think you upgraded from where you were, but it still hasn't been able to ultimately get you over that hump that you wanted. Now, why is that? Well, it's probably the way that they go ahead and team build and roster build, and also just the way the organizations run.
Well, and you have Dak Prescott as your quarterback.
And that's not going to change either. They committed to Dak for 4 years.
What wins in the playoffs my entire life is quarterbacks that are all pros.
Yeah.
You know? Tom Brady has 7 of them. Patrick Mahomes is on his way to 7 or 8 of them. Everybody else is trying to pick off a perfect opportunity when you have the offense that can run the ball and the defense that can shut everything down. You know, that's the two descriptions of who's winning Super Bowls. It's not guys like Dak Prescott who have set the market for highest salary in the NFL. You know, it's guys like Nick Foles, who are at $10 million a year, and they hadn't paid Carson Wentz yet. It's guys like, Matthew Stafford, who I think is a great comparison for Dak, but his contract was so old, it only cost the Rams $20 million against the cap, so they had all the extra money to add players that could make that a totally complete team. Dak is good enough to win the Super Bowl, but not with a roster that compares with what Patrick Mahomes is winning with the Chiefs. And the Cowboys like to pretend that Dak is that good. And when they come up short, they're like, well, we're only going to go as far as Dak, you know, plays us to. And it's very frustrating indeed. But I say all that just to say, like, Mike McCarthy's not the biggest problem. Like, Mike McCarthy's better at his job than Dak is, and he's better at his job than the front office is. You know? So, I wish he'd be perfect and great. But listen, you talk about the optimized offenses. What happened in San Francisco this year? What happened with the Rams this year? What happened with the Dolphins this year? Yeah. Those are the architects, like, that we all put on this pedestal. Sure. When everything is going great and all of their skill players are healthy and in their prime, we're like, oh, wow, look at how great of a job they can do.
That's well put. Yeah.
You know, but
well put.
But I would say, look at how Mike McCarthy had a Dak Prescott running offense with Terrence Steele at right tackle, Tyler Biotish, a broken down Tyron Smith, one good wide receiver in CD Lamb, Dalton Schultz and Jake Ferguson, Michael Gallup breaking down, Brandon Cooks ancient, top four offense 3 years in a row. But he doesn't get enough credit because there's not more motion at the snap, you know? So I think this organization will do a lot worse at head coach if they move on from Mike McCarthy. I wish I could dream of them having the vision to go find the next LaFleur, you know, and plug something in like that. But they don't. They're not going to do better. They would find just another retread that had won a Super Bowl somewhere. Kyrie Irving out tonight, maybe out 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, get the back.
This is bad. It's a bulging disc in his back. You've got to make sure you say that very slowly and very carefully, because we have seen people get stung by that one. But missing 1 to 2 weeks, according to Shams and McMahon. So there's optimism that treatment over the coming days will provide a return to play sooner rather than later. But that is just a crusher for a Mavs
spinal
team. And Luka can't even put pressure on his foot. Did you guys see him rolling around the other night? Like, this is not looking good for our Mavericks.
A Twitter doctor watching that video said 4 to 6 weeks for Luka, which would be All-Star break February 14th to 16th.
Sure.
So I think they're going to have to make a mad scramble to make the playoffs again.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the way this thing is. As they get set to visit the Grizzlies tonight, 7 o'clock there in Tennessee. At least Najee Marshall's back from suspension.
Let's go.
Losers of 4 in a row.
Yeah.
They'll host the Lakers tomorrow. They could win these next two games. You know, I think without Luka and Kyrie, it's massive, but
I thought
they
that
still
about,
have enough good players.
I thought that about Portland and Sacramento, too, Dawson.
I know. Okay, so, I mean, there's Rangers news, obviously. We have stuff going on with the Stars continuing to win and a lot of sports stuff to talk about here with you. The G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Where are we going next, Zach?
Well, we got some end-of-the-season NFL awards. Do you agree? Let's predict the awards. That's next in the Nation.
Welcome back, buddy. G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in 8 minutes. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's Woolchuck.
All right, thank you. We'll do some NFL awards. Did have somebody on our, you know, the text say, like, hey, well, what happened with the Rangers? Well, they did trade right-hander Owen White to the Reds in exchange for cash considerations earlier today. They'd already designated Owen White for assignment back in December after they signed the lefty Obi Milner. So it's unfortunate just the way things ended up going for Owen White. At one point, I mean, he was really on the come up here in the Rangers organization. 2018, he was drafted. He started the All Futures game in 2023. Last year, he had an opportunity in the bigs, and even in AAA Round Rock, he was just struggling. The fastball velocity was dropping. The control just wasn't quite there. I think, what was this final stat line? 13 earned runs and 7 career innings for the Rangers.
Ouch.
Just didn't quite work out. So maybe better luck for Owen White in Cincinnati, but Rangers making a move there with an arm. So that was the Rangers news for those of you that were
and
wondering.
And there's speculation on Roky Sasaki because we're like 10 days to go until the bidding is going to be done and everything. But I just think that was rehashing old storylines.
Yeah. And look, I mean, they are one of the only handful of teams that got to meet with Roky Sasaki in person. But yeah. I do wonder financially if he'll end up having a better opportunity somewhere else.
I hope the Rangers are thinking, hey, let's make a full bid of what we think the value should be. And if he accepts, we'll trade other players if we need to get under the luxury tax threshold.
Let's look at Bill Barnwell, who has gone ahead and done his NFL awards picks. Do we agree? Who would we hand out our NFL awards to? Best of 2024 Coach of the Year. He's given it to Man Campbell. Of the Detroit Lions, the runner-up would be Kevin O'Connell, whom Man Campbell defeated last night in Sunday Night Football. My goodness, what a rough game it was for Sam Darnold. I mean, everything was just sailing on him. It was high here, high there, and the red zone offense was just putrid for Minnesota. So they end up now having to make a trip to the Rams, who's already defeated them this year. That'll be the Monday Night Football matchup in the wild card round. And then Jim Harbaugh of the Chargers was number three in the Barnwell Awards list. I mean, it's hard to not give it to Dan Campbell, but I would give it to Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell is my 2024 Coach of the Year. What he did with a team that I think was written off, I know I'd written them off. I didn't think they had any chance of making the playoffs this year. Then they lose their rookie quarterback in the preseason for the year. Sam Darnold, here you go. And he ends up winning 14 games with them and was flirting with the number one overall seed in the NFC. I mean, it was a crazy year. It comes down to 2-14-2 teams. I mean, yeah. Most years, Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings are the number one seed.
Great job by the schedule makers there. You know, I think there's a lot of ways you could go with it. You could go with McDermott in Buffalo.
That's who I voted
okay.
for.
You could go O'Connell. McDermott.
Yeah, that's,
but how do you not go Andy Reid, Brian?
No, I mean Andy. You know me, I could give it to Andy every single time.
Give it to Andy.
He deserves it.
The thing with Big Red, he'll get this.
Cheeseburgers.
But McDermott, that team's the second, I believe they're second in points scored, and they're right outside the top 10 in points allowed. So, I mean, this team is playing. That was supposed to be a complete rebuild. Much like Minnesota, we were all thinking that Minnesota was going to completely fall apart once they lost their quarterback. And you're playing with Sam Darnold, and you're thinking, how do you do that? But I think that Buffalo is – I think Buffalo will make a lot of people in this playoffs very, very nervous by the way that they play. Their style is conducive to playing football this time of year.
Sure was. If you look at your MVP, we talked about this last week. I am going Josh Allen. I don't know how you guys end up feeling about that, if anything's changed. I mean, Allen did play one snap yesterday just to extend his start streak.
Sure.
And then he got the hell out of there. But for a lot of the reasons you talked about with McDermott, that's why I would lean Josh Allen. I mean, they went ahead and just said, okay, here you go. Here's Keon Coleman, who is a good receiver, but had some up and downs this year. And then Khalil Shakir from Boise State, who, hey, friend of the nosebleed seats, we got to have him on the show, but that's also a mid-round draft pick. So you got kind of a who's who of dudes. And yeah, James Cook was really good, but Josh Allen able to just elevate everybody around him and had the best season of his career, I think, finally. And yeah, it is. It is a little bit, okay, Lamar, you've got two of these. I want to spread the wealth out to somebody else. Not a knock on Lamar, also very deserving, but I think this year Josh Allen would be my 2024 NFL MVP.
I mean, my problem with either one of those picks is that I know they're not as good as Patrick Mahomes, so I would be the weirdo just voting for the guy that I know is the best player in the league year after year.
Can't fault you for that one, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the real weirdo here, and I'm voting for Jaden Daniels.
Ooh, I love it.
And I'll tell you why. Nobody, I mean, you believed in the Commanders.
Believed in him, but also believed in what they could get going.
12-5, that team finished. I mean, they were in a lot of close games. He was the difference maker in a lot of those games. I mean, it's funny. I think that Mike Zimmer played very well against him the two times. I mean, he wasn't great yesterday.
Dude, he was crazy.
But, you look at the Commanders and the way their team, the culture. I mean, you could also vote for Dan Quinn for Coach of the Year, too, being 12-5. But I think Jaden Daniels, I know he's not going to get any votes, but man, I'll tell you what, that team is remarkably different with him playing at quarterback.
I like this note from the 214. I did not know, well, Chuck, Roki only accounts for international bonus pool cash, which doesn't affect the luxury tax.
That's fantastic news.
Run it up, Ray.
Yeah, let's go. All the international.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Let's go, baby.
You're only worried about the luxury tax, Ray.
Yeah, I think Jaden Shuin, I hope, for Offensive Rookie of the Year, but Bo Nix yesterday, he's making that thing interesting. And Brock Bowers as well. I mean, Brock Bowers was phenomenal. The interesting discussion would be Defensive Player of the Year. This one is so wide open. Barnwell's got it going to Trey Hendrickson, who ended up leading the league in sacks this year with 17.5. I mentioned this in the post. I mean, I can't believe the Cincinnati sitting here with the NFL sack leader, the touchdown leader in receptions with Ja'Marr Chase, who ended up winning the Triple Crown, and then Burrow, who was the top passer in the league, and they don't even make the playoffs. I mean, that's got to be a first in NFL history. But Pat Surtain, the second, and then Zach Bond are his runner-ups. He is giving it to Trey Hendrickson. I think Myles Garrett's a tough one to not give this to as well. But give me PS2 of the Denver Broncos. Doesn't get enough love and is the best corner in all of football. They're in Denver, and they're 10-7 for a reason. A big reason is that defense there, what they were able to do while, Bo Nix was kind of figuring out the NFL a little bit first half of the season, then took off here late.
Yeah, I think he was 18 of 18 to start yesterday's game.
Crazy game. Absolutely crazy. Saturday's game. Offensive player of the year, I think, is a shoe-in for Barkley there.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. How do you go any
it's
other direction?
Than, I mean, I guess Chase did win the Triple Crown, but this is a Barkley. This is a Barkley year, no doubt about that, in my opinion.
I can't wait to start talking about this draft and maybe new candidates for these postseason awards for the Cowboys. Because picking at 12, dude, there are some really, really fun prospects.
I don't know if you guys saw, but what Jahmyr Gibbs did. And
20 touchdowns.
12th overall pick, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay.
4 total touchdowns, 180 total yards, helping to carry the Detroit Lions to the number one overall seed in the bye last night.
You know what I really like about him is he's super fast.
Very fast.
But also, like, having the two running backs, like, if you would take Jenty, I would say we got to push Dowdle for at least a third of the carries.
I'm in on that. Yeah. Make sure you bring Rico back. Have a good even split there between the two. 2-on-4 is going Chris Jones, defensive player of the year. Hey, I love me some Chris Jones. I don't think there's a more clutch defensive player in all of the NFL. I think the Chiefs are an embarrassment of riches. They've got the clutch quarterback. They've got a tremendous coach, but also Chris Jones. It seems like game's hanging in the balance. Who's making a play? It's always Chris Jones coming up with a big one for you.
I think if Micah hadn't gotten hurt, we could be talking about him.
We absolutely would have. I mean, he needed one sack. He ends up first play, boom, gets it, finishes with 2.5. I mean, he made NFL history, first player. Other than
he had a really good chance for 3.5 in that game.
Oh, he did. Yeah,
he really did. Because he misses, though, on the sack that they split with Golston, split with Osa.
Yes.
He missed first. Yeah.
Oh, he was the first one in there.
He was the first one. He missed, and that could have got him to 3.5.
3.5.
Yeah.
Was our player of the game.
Well, thank you, old Chuck. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag for the day.
Yeah. What's going on there? How are you feeling, everybody and everything? Okay. Football was good yesterday. How about that, huh?
Football worked.
Football was good yesterday. The football was amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, our winner and champ right here so far is from Trap House Sports. Mm-hmm. I believe this may be day 3.
Sure.
Yeah, day 3. Trap House Sports right here. He is breaking down game film of Cowboys Eagles. And that was a mollywopping for the Cowboys right here. And my man's had enough, apparently.
Yeah, man, another week of Cowboys football, man. Right here, can't even get my words together, bro. I'm just so flabbergasted. Hey, bro, what's wrong with Kenny Pickett? He acoustic? What was this? What the fly? What was that? He got thrown by his own ball. Ball through him. I never seen it before. It was the worst thing Kenny Pickett or any NFL player has ever done, ever. Turns right around and start dotting us up, bro. I'm devastated. Can't stand it, bro. Why are we even out there? You just out there bullshit. He ain't out there playing for real. You just out there getting paid. Ain't nobody really out there playing for real. Not even Cooper Rush. He out there throwing up punts for the other team. Threw up a punt. He threw up a... Straight belt the ass, man. Belt, we was getting whooped. We got a whooping fresh out the shower whooping. We hit our report card from our mama. That's the kind of whooping we got. Talk back to the teacher. That's the kind of whooping we got. Devontae Smith, little ass out there doing us bad. Kenny Pickett got hurt. They put the third string in. Guess what he do? Dots us up. Out there getting laced by the third string guy. We get laced by the
Frustrated, man. I feel you, dog.
That's awesome.
I feel you, baby.
That's so good.
I don't know if we spent enough time on that Kenny Pickett play. That seemed like way worse than the butt fumble to me. That should live on forever.
Yeah, he didn't want to let that thing go.
He didn't want to let that thing. He saw coverage. I'm not letting that go. Yeah.
Anybody?
You guys ever got a whooping for your report cards?
Yes.
Belt to ass whooping for report cards?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have brought it? Oh, you have too, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good for y'all.
I tried to cut the... I had some behavioral problems, and they gave you X's for those. And I took my report card and tried to cut them out.
What grade was this?
This was probably fourth grade.
So my mom got the
report card, and there was like this gap in between the self-control area.
Yeah.
And my mom goes, "What happened here?" I really don't know, Mom.
Yeah, they put 2 and 2 together pretty quick. You thought you was slick with your lies, but you're in fourth grade. You don't know what you're talking about.
No chance.
I forged my own signature on the report card. Where my parents are supposed to sign. I didn't even sign my parents' name. I signed my own damn name in them, them elementary block ass letters.
Yeah. A Husky pencil.
Yeah, with a big old fat pencil, bro.
Yeah,
I got in trouble for that. And I had a good report card. I was just scared because, like you said, I was a behavior problem too, I guess.
Yeah.
Teachers always telling me to be quiet or do this or do that.
I
figured she wrote that on a report card somewhere that I just can't read.
Yep.
Couldn't understand it.
My third grade teacher, she pushed me against the wall so hard. I didn't talk back to any teacher from that point forward. My parents didn't have to do anything about that. Jeez. But
good for you.
They got me pretty good in sixth grade.
You got
school
scared
got
straight.
Hard in sixth grade. What's that?
Scared straight right there from that teacher.
I was, yeah. I was scared straight.
Never again.
Yeah, I could tell the ones that you could kind of talk back to after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And anyone that looked like her, you know.
This one's weak.
Every teacher in the school had my parents' number. There's no talking back. Oh, my God. That's just hell. She get permission. Pop him in the face and then call me and tell me. Yeah. All right, let me go right here. Let's go to Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Oh,
yes. Do you know who the Duke's mascot was this year?
Was it Flavor Flav?
It was Flavor. Flavor Flav.
Right. Well played.
Yeah, he was the Duke's mascot.
So good.
And Minnesota ended up winning. Head coach must have been a Flavor Flav fan, or they got some history of Flavor Flav or something, because he was super excited about this unveiling.
The surprise of who's underneath here. Tubby, you want to reveal yourself?
Holy crap! It's the coach.
Holy crap!
You look good, man.
Oh. All right, coach. You can't avoid it for much longer. Let's go.
It's one of the best bits we've got during bowl season.
Yeah, other than that sacrifice in the palm tart for the greater good of mankind.
Yeah, that's also good.
Boy, that is still haunting a little bit because everybody got to choose which one they wanted to sacrifice. Yeah. Oh, poor guy. It was thumbs up, thumbs down over the dude. Yeah! They killed him, bro. Yeah! Give us another year of college football. Thank you for your support, Pop-Tart.
P.J. Fleck was a little too pumped up to get dunked by the Mayo, though.
He was excited.
He was flexing. He was really
getting
excited.
Paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the bowl games are going to entertain us one way or another. The football can't anymore, other than the playoffs.
We must have our bread in circuses.
Yes.
Let our gladiators fight to distract our minds from what's really possible.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the NBA. Atlanta Hawks small forward Jalen Johnson. He entered the game for the first time finally, and his parents were there. To witness this great moment. Their son is now in the NBA. And every time that the reporters in the sideline went up there to go talk to the family, Jalen was going off.
Yeah,
he was going off.
The game, and I was talking to you guys, and we got Dad's reaction on camera. Dad, we see you down here cheering on your son. Just describe that feeling.
Oh, he did it again! Oh, my God. Okay, I'm not doing this on purpose. He's literally taking, every time we get an interview, he's dunking the basketball. So, I'm sorry, Tabitha, but that is amazing.
Every single time, I'm happy it happened.
Oh, he did it again! That's a proud pop right
that
there,
that is a
dog.
Proud pop.
That's a proud pop.
Dad, we see you down here cheering on your son. Just describe that feeling.
Oh, he did it again!
Man, I love those moments where they're talking about dad or dad's there. Didn't happen to Joey Gallo. I mean, these kind of things happen.
Yeah, and it's like a home run or it hits a triple or something crazy. It's usually a home run.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, the whole family's up there in the outfield.
Bobby Witt, I think, one time.
Bobby Witt happened.
Bobby Witt's crazy because I remember seeing that kid when he was little league.
Yeah.
Like high C's after the game.
Yeah.
Now he's out here being one of the best in the league. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, we don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to play this real quick. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. Here's a church choir that sang Silent Night over the holiday in the key of U flat. Yeah.
Silent Night.
Killing it, bro.
Holy Night.
I'm coming back to this church. You hear me? I'm coming back.
All is bright.
As long as he's singing.
Round your burden, Lord,
my you gotta let him
cook. You gotta let him cook, bro.
You gotta let him cook.
I can keep going because he keeps going.
That's you always sound good in your own voice, don't you? Right? Like he thinks he's Louis Armstrong right now.
Yeah,
just
I'm killing this.
Yeah, just raspy.
I want the confidence that man has.
That's the reason why the Broaduses attend 8 a.m. service with no music right there.
Dang. Is it Silent Night? Is it Jalen Johnson checking in while Dad doing an interview? Duke's Mayo Bowl or Trap House Sports. I'll go with Jalen Johnson's dad.
Yeah.
Great feeling. Lucius?
Silent Night. Oh, Holy Night.
We'll check.
I'll go with the dad.
Brian?
Church.
By a score
Preach.
Of
Tabernacle.
2-2. We have a tie. Jump on to at GBag Nation's X account. That's just at GBag Nation. And you can follow us all when you get there. Our handles are in the bio. We'll create an Insta poll here. Who is your G-Bag of the day? Champ will announce the winner on the other side. And then we'll check what do we have in store.
It's a little best of the weekend, 877-881-1053. How was your weekend? But we got paydays, records, and just in time for dry January. That's next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan by a very, very close vote. Holy night. Is your new G-Bag of the Day champion, 52-48. So congrats to that singer at church. Okay, NFL News Today is coming up at 3 o'clock. We're tracking the Cowboys situation. Jane Slater tweeting just a moment ago, players have left the Star in Frisco. When I was asked about the mood today, they said it was described as even-keeled, no tears, mainly Mike McCarthy just thanking everyone and appreciating our hard work. No coaches, player, or staff seem to have a read on the future. She's also contacted a number of agents outside of Dallas who say it's equally quiet. So we wait. I think all this likely adds up to Mike McCarthy coming back, but it's hard to tell, right? Here's Zach Wolchuk with your best O of the weekend.
So, Fanatics, they strike again. This is unbelievable. Someone ordered a Texas Rangers World Series jersey. They get it, and everything's fine, except you look at the patch on the shoulder, and it says World Series Champs with the Los Angeles Dodgers logo on it. So they just flipped them. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Fanatics, we need to just double-check our work. All right, they always said that in school. Double check your work. Show your work in math. I was very bad at that. Why? I was usually cheating to try and go ahead and pass. I admit it. I was terrible at mathematics. I had to cheat. I had to just to get the degree.
Last segment when I told you school got hard in sixth grade, that was pre-algebra. Mm-hmm. I was done. I was pickled.
As soon as
I was like, man,
fractions in here, I'm like, what?
This is going to take a lot of actual work and focus, and I'm just not interested in doing that.
I can't. And I got dyspraxia. I'm flipping numbers left and right.
Dang. I must have
four,
that, too.
There's a two. It's bad.
That's what it felt like.
It's
felt
not
like
good.
Some major dyspraxia.
There's like if you bad in fractions, there's really something like a...
Well, just bad in general with the numbers.
Just in general, yeah. Just being smart overall.
Mathematics. Like, I could do the English and the history, fine.
Great in history.
Tremendous.
Terrible in everything else.
And the science was okay until you had the math involved.
Yes.
Then it was like, no, I'm out. I'm sorry. Don't make me do this.
Good dissector, though.
Yeah. Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah. I was.
What was your favorite to dissect?
A cow's eye.
Oh, the eyeball.
Yeah, wow. I did a cow's eye one time.
Did you eat it afterwards?
No. In high school?
No, this was, when was this? Cow's eye was a freshman year at LSU.
A cow's eye. I think we did, what was it, like a rabbit or something in high school?
Yeah, pin that thing all back.
Oh, yeah, it was gross.
Yeah.
And the smell. What do they put them in?
Amaldified.
Oh, that is one of the worst smells in the world.
Formaldehyde.
Water.
Right?
Oh, my bad.
Water. That is a terrible, terrible scent. But yeah, Fanatics, come on, let's get it together.
Yes, that's Michael Rubin's company, right? So he's making like trillions and millions of dollars selling raggedy clothes to us.
That's how he can
throw in white parties and showing off.
Yeah, right.
Look at that.
Gosh.
Eat the rich.
Come on.
No pride in craftsmanship anymore.
None.
Yeah. Oh, you got a lower bid? Oh, it looks like we're going with you.
Just check the damn patch. It's not that hard. Gino, he's on track to get a $6 million bonus after he had a 4-touchdown performance yesterday in a win over the Rams. So this is as long as he remains under contract with the team. Be on the fifth day of the league year. I think he will.
We're done.
But he's going. You think it's over now? They're going to say we're not.
Yeah.
You?
If I was Schneider, Brian's former intern turned Seahawks GM. Yes. No. We already needed to move on. Now it's going to cost us another $7 million.
Yeah. Go ahead and say bye bye. See you later.
Your floor is fairly high with him, but your ceiling is not that much higher than your floor.
Okay. Yeah, he's had some really good moments, but there's also been some really bad moments there with Gino. Shout out to Bo Nix, and I've got to give an apology to Bo. Now, I did say, and Brian, you can vouch for me.
Oh, because I'm in the same boat.
Maybe Sean Payton is just that good. If anybody can do it, we should just trust Sean.
When Sean told me that he really liked Bo Nix, I kind of had to keep from laughing.
I thought it was all a bunch of bull. I thought we got smoke screened out the rear.
I did. Here. I'm like, well, I go, I like him, Sean, but man, you sound, oh no, man, this guy's a winner. We can work with him. Yeah, I, you know, he was like talking like super about the guy. And I was, I thought he was BSing me.
Well, you know what?
And then I remembered all the quarterbacks. Every time that I gave him a quarterback list, he was always
he was right.
Like, he even told me about
Romo,
but he was also like the guys from Boston College, the Hasselbacks.
Yeah, Matt
like
Hasselbeck.
He's like, and that was the '98 draft. He goes, hey, listen, Brian. He goes, I know we're not going to have a chance at Lee for Manning or one of those guys. But, man, there's this guy Hasselbeck at Boston College. We need to take a look at him. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, Sean.
And so, you guys are just blessed with the eye.
I played like 15 years. You know,
he's an expert on reading the game, you know, and and because of that, he knows what to look for from the guys, and he understands the process of teaching them all that. Like, to listen to players who have been in the backfield, quarterbacks, running backs, talk about Sean Payton.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That whole thing with Drew Henson. Like, he was the one coach that stood up in that room and said, this guy can't play. This guy cannot play. And then when Jim Garrett said, he's the next Troy Aikman, and Jerry was listening, and Sean leaned over to me and goes, we're effed. Mm. We're effed here. We're so effed.
Bo, I mean, you mentioned earlier, 19 of 19 is where you started. Yeah, you're right. And also, Bo Nix is probably that quarterback. You talked about it with Breeze. Like, Sean was... that's a quarterback that would check out of my plays. Bo Nix, the rookie, he's going to listen to Sean Payton. He's going to run exactly what he wants him to run.
He says, Jason Garrett and those guys have it, Scott Linehan have it the best right now in 2016. He goes, I admire that they have a quarterback that's playing well but won't check out of plays every play I send in.
Bo Nix did it right. 26 of 29, 321 yards, 4 touchdowns, and their 38-0 win over the Chiefs to clinch the 7th seed. Nix broke an NFL record as well as a franchise record, which was held by Peyton Manning. 89.7 completion percentage broke Manning's 11-year-old single-game record, which he had against the Raiders back in 2013. So congratulations to Bo. We also got this amazing moment in the Patriots game as Joe Milton was in at quarterback for Drake May. And he threw a touchdown pass to your guy, Kayshon Booty of LSU.
Booty.
Here was the call of the 48-yard TD.
And for Patriots fans, hopefully he's just like Josh Allen looking for his 115th consecutive start.
Milton again! Booty wide open! It's a 48-yard strike!
Booty wide open.
Booty wide open.
Bryce, people don't, you know, play with that one a little bit more.
Huh.
The booty name.
Yeah.
Booty wide open.
Booty wide open.
Mike Evans, NFL history, tying Jerry Rice, 11th straight 1,000-yard season. He was able to get it.
Did you see how they did it?
Last minute, right?
Very.
They were going into victory formation, and they ran a play.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, he just got it by four yards. Amazing. Yeah. And then how about the cheerleader yesterday? We'll get an update during Two Guys, One Booth from Christy Sales if she's okay, but... did you guys notice? I mean, Brandon Aubrey just drills this poor. Now, I think the ball got deflected, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, there was on the film, I was watching the game film, a guy deflected it into her head.
Right. Like he lifts up.
Yeah, he tried to block the ball and he didn't get it and it went right into her head. So I was going to ask you though, Woolchuck, and Dawson, maybe Lucius as well. I thought if you kick the ball out of bounds, it's the ball at the 40 automatic.
I thought so too.
Why was it on the 25? Because I was...
changed the rule with the new kickoffs?
You think they did?
Tweaked a couple
things?
What
the hell do we know?
I was mad at Bones. I'm like, you get the 15-yard penalty, and you have to move it up. And now you're kicking from basically midfield, and I'm thinking, why do you kick it out of bounds? Because I was thinking, that ball is going to be on the 40, and next thing it was on the 25, and I'm thinking... did they tweak the rules? I probably didn't.
I think they want to incentivize maybe keeping it in and trying to kick it to certain spots. So they wanted to take away the risk of moving it to the 40.
It still is.
It's still the 40 rule?
I think they just screwed that up.
No.
I was screaming like, what are we doing? You know, because I'm thinking you had the ball at the 50. You just squib it down there. He kicked it directly out of bounds.
Yeah, the receiving team will get the ball at its own 40
like
or the
Hawks
spot where the ball went out of bounds. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Hockey Hawk Gavin Spittle is in here. He's working on the Mac right now. He's putting something in. Oh, he's putting in. Oh, did Babe Loffenberg put out the rule? Our own Babe Loffenberg gave this to me?
Huh.
I didn't even know. We're scrolling.
I was screaming about this.
Oh, it was an intentional. Babe Laufenberg as of 3 hours ago. This kickoff was intentional. Ball was kicked from the 50 after personal foul on Washington. Kickoff out of bounds is not placed at the 40. It's placed at the 25-yard from
the kick. Oh.
So kick it through the end zone, ball at the 30. Kick out of bounds, ball at the 25. Not sure if Fox explained that, but we did. You damn sure did,
babe. I did not know that rule, so.
You damn sure did.
Congratulations.
That's why you listen on 105.3, the fan of the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network.
I was thinking immediately, when that ball went out of bounds, I'm thinking, what the F is
there
Bones?
There it is. That's, there it is. Hey,
there you go, Bones.
Hey, who's this number 10 for Washington, by the way, that went over there and rizzed the cheerleader up that she got hit in the head?
That's Tress Way.
That's their
partner. He knows the way.
He's the player.
The boy got some rizz.
He did.
Hey, you doing all right?
Yeah.
Feeling okay?
Sorry, ma'am. Yeah. Want to borrow my helmet next time?
Man, rizz all over that field.
Instagram, by the way.
Shout out to the Riz God himself, of course, Mike Zimmer, who did get engaged over the weekend as well. I think everybody on that roster very familiar with his game. And congratulations to Team USA, the World Junior Gold Champions, back-to-back years. They had an overtime win over the Finns as Team USA rallied 4-3 on Sunday at the Canadian Tire Center. They did it in Canadian soil. I love this. USA all the way. Shout out to you. Let's go, Team
USA. That's hockey, right?
It's very hockey.
Hockey kids getting the
hockey.
Job done.
I'm sorry. It's very hockey out here. Stars also got a big overtime win over Utah as well.
Yeah.
So we'll take that. Right now, we might be looking at, I don't know. I mean, I'm still confident in our Dallas Mavericks, but these injuries might be too much.
Yeah,
we might be digging ourselves too big of a hole.
Might be too big of a hole, yeah.
All righty. We'll have some Mavs discussion coming up at 3:20 for you with Kyrie Irving out 1 to 2 weeks. Their herniated disc in his back. That one is tough. Krusty's Corner is now about 45 minutes away there. And then John Machado is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We'll see if we have any updates there. As Jerry and Mike are meeting this afternoon, we're standing by for any breaking news. We'll pass it along if and when we get it. Where are we going next, Wolchuk?
Let's do NFL news of the day. We got a ton when it comes to the coaching news, and a headline no NFL team should have to read. That's next.